words. Words kindly spoken. I've titled my lesson this morning, The Words We Say. I'm a little nervous, and I don't know why. I'm among brethren, I'm among family. But I think I'm more nervous about the things that I say, that I'm saying what God wants me to say. Can everybody hear me? What God wants me to say. The words we say, and just how important are they, and do the words we say anything about who we are? And what does God say about what we say? Have you ever been told, watch your mouth? I was many times growing up, and my parents, that was a command that I very much needed to obey. The consequences of disobeying, I learned quickly, I didn't want. As a boy growing up, the only fights I ever had with my buddies were over words that were said. Some words are too loud, too. But words, how important are they? Let me ask you a question. How many of you know my name? How many of you know what kind of person I am? Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 and following, that we are the salt of the earth, the light of the world, and that we are let our light so shine before men that others may see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. And I'll come down here in just a little bit. But just how do we do that? How do we let our light so shine before men to glorify our Father in heaven? If you think about it, the only way you know my name is through myself or someone else telling you. The only way you can know what kind of person I am is by the things I say, my speech or how I say it, or the things I do, my action. The relationships between our brethren, our spouses, our family, our friends, our neighbors, our fellow man, all revolve around our actions and what we say. We have to control our actions, what we say and how we say it. James chapter 1 verse 26 says, if any man among you seem or think himself to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain. That's in the King James Version. In the New King James Version says useless. We have to put that bridle on and control our mouth. Are we, with our tongue, making our faith, our religion, useless? We are very faithful people, aren't we? But there is more to it. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. That's 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. Peter tells us to give all diligence to add to our faith, to be a good person, and to virtue add knowledge, know what we're supposed to say and do, and to knowledge add temperance, or self-control, controlling our actions and speech, and to temperance add patience, consistency, and the capacity to go through any hardships, annoyances, or delay without complaining. And to patience add godliness, having a godlike attitude that does that which is well-pleasing to God. And to godliness add brotherly kindness, the love of the brethren. And to brotherly kindness add love. We all know what love is. If we add these things to our faith, and they abound, they will make us that we shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, they will produce in us the fruit of the Spirit. Paul tells us what the fruit of the Spirit is in Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23. That's Galatians 5, 22 and 23. He says the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and temperance. What a beautiful person we would be if we could take hold of these things, then others could see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Paul warned Timothy in his first letter to him in chapter 1, verse 5. That's 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. Now the end of the commandment is love out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of a faith unfeigned, from which some have swerved, have turned aside into vain talking, idle talking. Have you ever said anything that the second the words came out of your mouth, you wish you had not said them? In a heated discussion, have we ever said things we are ashamed of? Have you ever heard the expression, you're going to have to eat those words, and then later wish you had have eaten them before they came out of your mouth? James warns us about this in chapter 3, verse 3. Chapter 3, verse 2 through 10. He says, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, you hear that? What we say, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouth that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, although they are so large and driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it sets on fire by hell. It's set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature, the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have the same mouth, who out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. That's James chapter 3, verses 2 through 10, I believe is what it was. And James tells us these things. I have a commentary by Brother Jerry Moffitt, and that's Jeremy's dad, by the way. I don't see them here this morning, but I love that commentary. I'm going to read some of his comments on these scriptures. I really enjoy using this commentary in my studying. About verse number 2, he says, we all sin or stumble, and that there is a difference in a walk in sin and stumbling occasionally into sin. But the tongue is the main thing to control. About verse 3, he says, we many times use our words, our tongues, as weapons against others. It seems like a little thing, but like a bridle in the horse's mouth, the bridled or controlled tongue can sure help control our speech or our action. The same thing in verse number 4 is true of the rudder of a ship. It turns the whole ship through the ship, though the ship is of great size. In verse 5, the tongue is little, but it can brag of great things. It can really stir up things. Like a small flame, a small spark can blaze into a great fire. In verse 6, James says the tongue is a destructive fire, a great universe of iniquity. Iniquity is defined as gross injustice or wickedness. James says the tongue defiles the whole body. We might take this from this, that the tongue, uncontrolled, actually controls us. In our Christian living, our example to those about us, a few uncontrolled words from our mouth or from our tongue can destroy our credibility as God's people. More damage, more injustice, more sins are done with the tongue than any other member of our bodies. All we are can be ruined by the tongue, what we say. It sets on fire the course of nature, the course of our lives. Our existence, our lives are very much affected, they're much affected by what we say. Then in verse 7 and 8, we see that man can tame every kind of beast, but not the tongue. Even the tame lions and tigers, you will rarely see the tamers turn their backs on them. We can never turn our backs on our tongue. We must constantly be on guard of what we say, because our tongue, like the wild animals, just waiting for an opportunity to strike, and with deadly poison. And then in verse 9 and 10, the tongue is inconsistent. That's another of the many evils of the tongue. How can we speak well of God and curse his workmanship made by him in his own image? Such fickle inconsistency ought not to be. Oh, the damage we can do with what we say. the Bible speaks of some of these things. We read in many scriptures in the Old Testament of God caring for his people, the Israelites, yet they continually murmured. Exodus chapter 16, verse 2 says that the whole congregation of the children Israelites murmured against Moses and Aaron. The psalmist in Psalms 106, verse 21 through 25 says, "They forgot God, their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, and terrible things by the Red Sea. Therefore he said that he would destroy them, had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. Yea, they despised the pleasant land, they believed not his word, but murmured in their tents, and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord." Which brings me to why I chose this subject for my lesson today. I asked my wife what she thought I needed most of my life as a Christian. What do I need to work on to better myself and do a better job of being the right kind of example to those about me? After all, she knows me better than anyone else. What do you suppose her answer was? After all of this, what do you think her answer was? Her answer to my question was, "You need to start thinking of all the blessings the Lord has blessed us with, and stop complaining so much about all the little things." And I knew I was complaining a little, but I didn't know so much. Did I or have I, as the Israelite, for God has sent us a Savior and done great things for me or for us? Did I or have I, as the Israelites, believed not God's word? Doesn't Romans 8:28 say we know that all things work together to good for them that love God? And I do love God. Yet I, like the Israelite, murmured in my tent and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. What murmur means? Murmur is to complain or grumble in a low, muttering tone. Jude tells us in verses 15 and 16 of Jude that the Lord is going to execute judgment upon all and to convict all that are ungodly among them that are of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and all of their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Now in verse 16, Jude tells us who he's talking about. Listen to this. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouths speak great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. As I read this passage, I thought, Is this me that's complaining and murmuring? Lord forbid that I utter another complaint. I ask the Lord to forgive me for the murmuring I have done, and I would ask for your prayers to help me stop and think before I speak, before I open my mouth and complain about another thing. The Bible speaks of many things that the tongue does that gets us in trouble. Paul's second letter to Timothy, that's 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 10 through 16, he speaks of profane and idle babblings. In verse 10, "Therefore endure all things for the elect, for the sake of the elect." The elect, that's the Christians, you and I, "that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." He goes on to say in verse 11, "This is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, Christ, we should also live with him, Christ. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself." Then in verse 14, Paul says, remind them, the elect, the Christians, you and I, of these things, charging them before the Lord, not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. How many souls have been lost because we would rather win an argument than save a soul? The word strive here means to fight, to quarrel, to dispute. That's all done with the mouth. How many congregations are split over winning arguments rather than enduring for the good of the elect? Paul goes on to say in verse 15, to be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman who does not need be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to know the truth, we need to study the truth, and live the truth with all diligence. And in verse 16, we need to shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And there are those of a contentious spirit, they can argue endlessly. We need to remember the Bible doesn't mean what we want it to mean. It means what God wants it to mean. Proverbs 23 verse 29 says, who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has babblings or complaining? Who has wounds without cause? Proverbs 10 verse 30 through 32 says that righteous will never be removed, but the wicked will not inherit the earth. The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked what is perverse. Babblings. The original word here was kinophonia. Kinos meaning empty, phonia meaning sound. So here, babbling signifies empty discussion, discussion on useless subjects. You might say just talking to be talking or arguing to be arguing all the time, all the while feelings are hurt, someone gets mad, and souls are lost. Ecclesiastes tells us about this in chapter 10, verse 11 through 14. That's Ecclesiastes 10, verse 11 through 14. It reads, a serpent may bite when it is not charmed. The babbler is no different. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool shall swallow him up. The words of his mouth begin with foolishness, and the end of his talk is raving madness. A fool also multiplies words. No man knows what is to be. Who can tell him what will be after him? And a babbler. Webster says is a man who picks up scraps of information and retells them secondhand. One who makes a show in unscientific style of knowledge obtained from misunderstanding. In plain words, you might say he doesn't know what he's talking about. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, Paul tells the Christians at Ephesus that fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32 tell us to let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Bitterness, bitter hatred, wrath, extreme anger, and anger must be put aside or stopped quickly before it completely takes over. Clamor is a loud outcry of strife. The word clamorous is used in Proverbs 9, verse 13. It means loud, continued outcry, uproar, or demand. And malice means with vicious characteristics. Paul says these things should be put away from us. They should not be in our Christian character at all. The tongue. We all know the tongue is the organ in the mouth used for tasting, for talking, for communicating, or the manner of speaking. But much deeper than that, the tongue is more to do with our very being, our entire existence, from birth in the beginning until our passing at the end of our lives. The time we live and how we live is very much affected by what we say and how we say it. We might consider just how important are the words that come out of our mouths. How many of us can remember our children's first words or their first sentence? How about us grandparents are called Pawpaw or Peepaw or Mama or Baba or Nani, or the list goes on and on because of a grandchild's words naming them. And it lasts for a lifetime. A personal story, a number of years ago, right here in the congregation, my nieces and nephew called me Uncle Charlie. Some of them have already grown up and have children of their own. But my name is still Uncle Charlie to this day. to many of the kids in my congregation to this day. Many of them not even related. It's very dear to me, and that they all call me Uncle Charlie. I love it. It means a lot. Words, how important are they? In Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, Paul says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. How very precious and important are those words. Probably the most we will ever say. Or how about the words, I do, or I will? How many of us have uttered these words? If we are married, we have said, I do, or I will. Or how about, I love you, or I don't care, or I hate you. The words that come out of our mouth can be very uplifting or very disheartening. The book of Proverbs tells us about this. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 18 through 21, that's Proverbs 10, 18 through 21. Whosoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whosoever spreads slander is a fool. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. But he who restrains his lips is wise. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of wisdom. Are we spreading slander? Are we sinning with our words? Or are we thinking before we speak? Are our words pure as choice silver? With the things we say, are we edifying those about us? Or are our words full of wisdom? In verses 31 and 32 of that same chapter, tell us that the mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked is what is perverse. We need to know what is acceptable, especially what is acceptable to the Lord. We never want to have the mouth of the wicked speaking what is perverse. Perverse means to turn away from what is right or good. It means corrupt, being obstinate in opposing what is reasonable or acceptable. We need to be very careful how we answer people, because Proverbs 15 verses 1 through 4, that's Proverbs 15 verse 1 through 4, tells us that a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours out foolishness. Then the writer of Proverbs reminds us in verse 3 and 4 that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good, and that a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness, it breaks the spirit. Do we really understand how important our words are? Then down in chapter 15, verse 14, it tells us the heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feed on foolishness. Then look at verse 26. It says, the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant. Abomination means extreme disgust or hatred. Is the Lord extremely disgusted and hate the things that come out of my mouth? I realize I need to purify and make pleasant the words that come out of my mouth. Proverbs 21 verses 23 says, whosoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. How many of us like troubles in our lives, in our homes? How many times have we caused trouble or got in trouble because of something we've said? Isn't it nice when everything is peaceful in our lives, in our homes, and with the people about us? Don't we all love a pleasant and peaceful atmosphere rather than in trouble or out of control disagreements or arguments? Again, Proverbs 15, 1 and 2 gives us the answer. It says a soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Then in verse 4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness there is a breach in the spirit. We might ask ourselves, are we the evil one that stirs up anger and grievous words of foolishness and perverseness, that therein is a breach in the spirit? Have you ever been happy, enjoying the day, and someone comes in and says something to you that just ruins your day? killing your spirit, giving you a completely different attitude about things. I've been that someone. Coming in tired and exhausted and hungry after a long day working at the ranch and complaining to my wife about it's too hot, it's too dry, the cows don't have anything to eat, the kids are too loud, the house is too messy, pouring out foolishness, breaking her spirit, and I'm telling her all it's all her fault that she just needs a soft answer. No, I'm the one who needs the soft words. I need the knowledge and the wisdom to communicate correctly. I'm the one who needs the wholesome tongue that describes this as a tree of life. I need to understand verse 3 that says the eyes of the Lord are everywhere watching. Jesus said in Luke 6 verse 43 through 35, for a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from the bramble bush. A good man out of the goodness, good treasure of his heart brings forth good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. We have no excuse to ever bring forth evil in our communication with each other. Proverbs 17:20 says, he who has a deceitful heart finds no good, and he who has a perverse tongue falls into evil. I need to get my heart right, because out of the heart the mouth speaketh. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who have it will eat its fruit. Is the fruit produced by our tongue, the things we say, so sour that they are hurtful, deceitful, ugly, harmful, so unpleasant that no one wants to be around us? Paul says in Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, to let your speech always be seasoned with be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer each one. There is no room for hurtful, deceitful, ugly, harmful, unpleasant in always. Always graceful, helping, building up others. Listen to the words of Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Are the things we say edifying, building up others? Are they imparting grace to those who hear them? In closing, There are three scriptures that really hit home for me. Listen to the words of Peter in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lip from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Then again, listen to the words of James in chapter 1 verse 26, if anyone among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one religion is useless. I hope and I pray that my religion is not useless because of the things I say or that I have said. If I have offended any one of you, please forgive me. And Lord, forgive me and have mercy on me. Now listen to the words of our Savior Jesus. Very important. The words of our Savior Jesus in chapter 12 of Matthew, verse 36 and 37. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. We must be very careful with the words that come out of our mouth or my mouth. This lesson was a wake-up call for me. I needed this study. I hope and pray that it has in some way helped every one of us. We need to know and realize some things found right here in God's Word, right here in the Bible. We all need to know of God's love, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We need to know of God's grace. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace you are saved through faith. We need to realize that it is Christ's blood that saves us. Romans 5:9 says, much more Then being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. Romans 1:16 tells us the gospel of Christ is the power of God to everyone that believeth. And in Acts 16:31 says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But we also need to know we must all repent of our sins. Luke 13:3 tells us, I tell you nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. But that's still not all. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And Mark 16:16 says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be condemned. So we say salvation is a package deal. We learn these things. We know these things. We take these steps and become Christians. We must remain faithful and endure to the end. Matthew 10:22 says, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. I hope this lesson has been uplifting to you. I know I needed it. I know there's some that didn't need it, but I know there's others that might need it like I need it. And we always have an invitation at the end of our lessons. If there's anybody here that needs to come forward for any reason, you might come forward while we stand and sing the song that's been selected.